God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible. Shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Jesus said, you got to love him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And that's where we're lost. We don't know how to love God. We really don't. God knows we don't, and I include myself. We don't know. No parent ever sat us down and said, this is how you love God. I'll make it even more simpler. No parent ever sat their child down and said, this is how you love your husband. This is how you love your wife. This is how you love your children. Every one of us enters into the most vital relationships in our lives woefully ignorant. And the information that we use to demonstrate that connection to that significant person in our lives is usually gathered by the television through hocus-pocus psychology. Jesus said, you got to love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. We don't know how to do that. Now, Pentecostals, we do. We quicken, we shake, we fall. You know, we go through all of the demonstrative things to let everybody else know that I'm saved. And if my rejoicing is not significant at my seat, then I bring it down to the altar so everybody can see me. Y'all gonna see me. I used to do that as a child. As a child, you run out and you get in the middle of the floor so everybody can see, you know, and your parents would say, get somewhere and sit down. Nobody don't need to see you. And you don't know how many times you want to say that to people who are down front. And here they come. Ooh. Coming out. And I can never understand. How can you have your eyes closed and you're all the way in the back and you manage to shout your way all the way down to the front without stepping on anybody else? And then when you get down there, it's the dance of the seven flowers. And all around people, bless them, Lord, bless them, bless them, bless them. And it could be satanic and demonic. Remember, it was a dance that caused John the Baptist to lose his head. What are we going to do with God? What do we do with him? God says, all right, let me make it real simple. Jesus continues this expose. He continues the thought. First, remove yourself from idol worship, including ourselves. And secondly, recognize that you must love God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And then comes the question, how do I love him in that fashion? Jesus quickly adds, and your neighbor as yourself. I cannot love God unless I love you. I cannot demonstrate connection to God and be alienated from you. God made it very simple. You can't love me until you love everybody else. And if you love me, you can't be bitter with everybody else. This bothered me. This bothered me in my mind. This bothered me, and I'm not going to say spirit in this august company, because when you say spirit to Pentecostals, they start reaching for their stomach. I felt it right in here. I felt something down in there 6 or 7 months ago. Went to the doctor and they said I had acid reflux. I thought it was the anointing. And he didn't pray the prayer of strength. He gave me Prilosec. You know, Jesus said some devils go out by fasting and prayer. Others go out by Prilosec. And so we draw conclusions that everything spiritual has to have a physical response. I feel God. Sounds like a person with constipation. No. See, once again, like that young man, you've drawn the conclusion that anything related to God has to have a physical connection. Well, in some instances, you're right, but it's not what you think. When we get back to the pages of the Holy Bible in the book of Ephesians and Paul, I often say this, and I'm going to continue to say it, that Paul teaches that in the first three chapters, it tells us what we should be. And why is that significant? I taught that principle and continue to teach that principle because I believe it. But secondly, I do so because through constant evaluation of the scriptures, I see what Paul is leading up to. I see where Paul is going in this great writing. By the time he reaches chapter 4, he escorts us into a significant change of direction. He reaches us in chapter 4 and says, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling, the vocation with which you were called. The calling, if you will, of which you were called. It sounds redundant. The calling, I'm to walk in the calling that called me. It brings us back to a very elementary thought. Why did God save us? He did not save us to make us ministers and preachers and prophets. He didn't save us for that purpose. He saved us for him, primarily. Then secondarily, he saved us that we may be him in the earth. He saved us for him, and then secondly, that we may be him in the earth. You are the light of the world. But something, because I'm so pragmatic, and it's not a bad thing. I mean, I got a lot of pragmatists in here with me, right? We all know each other. We got the club. How many of you are pragmatists? How many of you don't know you're pragmatic? Then you're pragmatic. It's a simple test to discover it, and we'll talk about it some other time in a Wednesday Bible study. But I think that we're the right people. God doesn't give ministry to hopeful optimists because they could never prove scripture. They just, I believe it, praise God. I believe it, it's fine. I'm not going to quote anything negative. I'm not going to let a negative word come out my mouth. Oh, I heard you had the flu. No, I don't. No, I don't. I don't claim it. I don't claim it. I don't claim it. I don't claim it. Temperature 117. I don't claim it. Pragmatists say, yeah, we got the flu. I don't know what God's doing about it, but I'll go till I drop. We deal with reality, not with a concept of doubt and unreasonable faith. We deal with it by saying God allowed it. He provides a way for us to go through it. Therefore, I will be successful. Very powerful thought the Lord gave me last week in preparation for our revival this week. He said, faith doesn't move everything, but it moves everything out of your way. Now, I'll unpack that next week, this coming week, but I'm not going to do it now. I just need you to hear what he said. And I was just like you. I was sitting there going, what in the Sam hell? Faith doesn't move everything, but it moves everything out of your way. Good God Almighty. Well, I'll show you what he means. But anyway, Paul gets to this fourth chapter, and something began to gnaw at my reasoning. Paul says we're to walk worthy of this vocation, this calling. We're to walk worthy of it. And then beginning in verse 7, he talks about God's gifts. He starts identifying specific people in verse 11 who are the direct recipients of the grace of Jesus in verse 9 and 10. He says with great boldness and clarity that God has extracted some members of the body and given them specific gifting for one central purpose. That purpose he evaluates in verse 12. For the King James says, for the perfecting. The New King James says, for the equipping. To equip the saints, if you read, it says, to equip them for what? Now, I need you to pay attention. Norman, you got a King James? Can I borrow it for a second, sir? Thank you. The girls are in London.
Yes, they are.
Okay. In Ephesians 4, your Bible all marked up. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We'll stop right there. Thank you, Pastor. He gave these gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. We're not going to deal with the problem of questioning callings. You know, the Bible doesn't tell you how these people are identified. So now we have, I'm an apostle. I'm a prophet. I'm a pastor. Okay. All right, we're not going to go into that now. But suffice it to say, that God gave the office. How he fills it is his business. Now, he also states purpose for the equipping. So think with me. Take a quick second. Evaluate this. He gives the apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor, teacher to equip the saints. What does it say? Equip them for what? Okay, what does that mean to you? When I stand here as your pastor, and according to that passage, I'm equipping you to do the work of ministry. What does that mean? Someone said serving. Let's take that for a moment. Serving whom? How many of you think that that particular passage has to do with me in this office equipping you to do ministry, to make you a better preacher, to make you a better servant? To whom? The Bible is not going to leave you in despair. It's not going to leave you clawing at a reality or a socialization that you can never reach. The role of the pastor, my mama used to make these Pillsbury muffins or Pillsbury biscuits, and I used to like to take the can, pull the green paper off, and pop it, and the dough would just rise, and then she would take them out, and they were flaky. You could roll off a layer. They were good. One of them adjutants, y'all run down to the store. Get some biscuits. And what we've done is we've taken the pastor and we put layers on the pastor that they could never fulfill. You want your pastor to interpret your dreams. You want your pastor to bring you comfort. You want your pastor to do many things. And the Bible says that they're just given to you to equip you to do the work of ministry. You say, oh, God has called me to preach, so therefore, I used to think, until last week, I used to think that that meant that I had to shelter you and nurture you until you could become a competent minister.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
10417A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.